Welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. I am Frankie Sachs. I'm here with my co-host and friend Javier Cantero, and we are looking forward to another double round of games.
Yeah, hello, Frankie. Hello, everybody. Well, it's another double round of games. I think it's the sixth this season already, out of seven. And the last one with EuroCup, which, of course, affects our work in a big deal. It's hard. Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, there are a lot of games. It's impossible to follow everything.
But for a fan, it's a dream. There's basketball all night long.
It is great. No matter when you tune in, you have at least two games going on. So it's absolutely amazing. Anyway, and as for the fantasy challenge, we have a lot of things to talk about. And it's a double round week, and we already did the math. And we can tell you that there are five teams playing two games at home: FC Bayern Munich, Crvena Zvezda Meridian, Belgrade, Real Madrid, Zalgiris Kaunas, and AS Monaco. And five teams are playing back-to-back road games: EA 7, Emporia Armani Milan, Partizan Mozart, Belgrade, Maccabi Plitvice, Tel Aviv, Valencia Basket, and Fenerbahce, Beko Istanbul. I hope I said all the sponsors correctly. But it is what it is. I'm leaning towards players from the home games. They get a well rest for the second game, especially. And they're solid teams at home, especially Madrid and Zagreb. So, initially, I'm going to go for players of these five teams.
I tend to look at that as a tiebreaker. I still try and find the best matchups and then see. But certainly, those things, an extra day of rest, not traveling, all that are things to take into consideration, especially when you're tinkering with your team and trying to decide, between a bunch of players who to sign. That that little bit of, who's home twice, who has an extra day of rest, that makes a huge difference.
Completely. For instance, a team like Fenerbahce, they play as well on the road. Then they play Monaco also on the road. But seeing that Jonathan Motley had such a big game and he's so comfortable at the fourth position all of a sudden, I don't care if Fenerbahce plays back-to-back road games. I may consider him. I have him in my best team, and I'm going to keep him for sure, because when you're hot, you're hot. And it happens with, Josh Nivo, or happens with Paris Lee, with players who have been playing really, really well lately, and there's no reason to take out.
Well, Fenerbahce has struggled a little bit on the road. That was more my consideration when I wanted to take, thinking about whether I wanted Charis or not as my coach, was that consideration. It's no longer a surprise at all, I think, if any home team wins, right? Even the weaker teams, they can beat the strongest teams at home. And that made me a bit nervous when I was looking at that. But their last road game, they got blown out. So that did make me a bit nervous picking any Fenerbahce player this week.
Speaking of Fenerbahce, speaking at home, did you see the three-point shot by Papagiannis?
Yes, that was pretty exciting.
I know it's not EuroLeague, but as a basketball fan, it's one of the most amazing things I've seen in my life. Also, that Bacchese player taking the layup, he must be regretting for the rest of his life.
Right, that was a poor basketball move. And the other thing about it, he didn't really shoot it. He threw it. Right? That was almost like a bizarre throw hook, and it went straight in like a line drive. That was amazing, and his reaction was priceless. That was a great moment in basketball.
There was NFL this weekend, but the best quarterback move was by Papagiannis by far.
Yes, it was amazing.
Spot on. All right. Well, going back to fantasy, we have some issues to discuss. First and foremost, I think it's great that Nikola Mirotic is back, and he's back playing really well. He has a PAR of 19 and 16 points in 15 minutes in the Italian league. The thing is, he's one of the best fantasy players available. He's back. Should we get him straight away or not?
As you know, we've discussed this many times over the course of the season. I'm a more conservative approach type of player. So knowing that he might be on a minutes watch, especially with in a double round, just back from injury, it's a hefty price to play for someone who you're not sure is going to give you 26, 28 minutes and a lot of points. That being said, he could be an MVP. I know that you had looked up the stats the last time he came back from injury and put up a monster game. So I wouldn't negate that possibility. But personally, I think there's a premium to be paid, and I'd be afraid of paying it this week in the double round week.
I still have to think about it, but there's a couple of arguments on his favor. First, Siobhan Shields came back after missing, I think, six games. And, okay, his first game, he was limited in minutes, but the second game against Barca last week, he had 23 points, 3 out of 26. And Milotic, when he came back last season, when he missed the opening 10 games of the regular season with Barca, he came back and, okay, he didn't see a lot of playing time, 22 minutes, but he got a PAR of 29. And then he moved on to 21 and 22. I mean, he always comes back with energy. He comes back and he's probably the best PAR per minute player in the competition. Well, in a good day, for sure. So with that said, he's under 15 credits also, which is very cheap for a player of his caliber. So I would at least consider him and probably buy him.
I mean, we spoke about this preseason. Who are the players you like at any price point? And Mirotic is one of the guys I like because I believe in his game. I believe in his ability to put up points. He gets fouls. He makes free throws. Inside, outside, rebound. He does it all. But just my approach would be to wait a little bit this week, especially they're on the road twice. So, again, when we're talking about that being a tiebreaker, you know, wait two games, see how he does. Get him next week when he comes back. You know, back at home. How much could his price possibly go up? Even if he plays great, it's not. He's not going to be 20 points. So there, I'm not too worried about losing that. I think I can hold off and see and probably get him. Plus, if I'm not mistaken, the end of this week is in unlimited trades again. Correct?
I think it's after round 26, right? I'm not sure, but. One way or another, it's gonna be very soon. So we'll see. Anyway, I don't know. Now you made me doubt. I saw in the game rules that it's round 26, but it has to be round 26.
I could be wrong. Okay, so it's another week. But still, the point is that pretty soon you'll be able to completely reshape your lineup. So personally, for me, I think I will wait till then and then see when I'm rebuilding the lineup, because I feel that at this point I'm really always tinkering with who I want, who I don't want, and the prices. So to get someone like Mirotic, it means dropping Chima Moneke or Mike James or Shane Larkin, all players who I don't really want to drop if I don't have to. So I, knowing that I have great players already, I don't know that I want to make the move to get Mirotic, but that's no disrespect to Mirotic. I just want to see him play a round or two and make sure that he is back to 100%. He's getting big minutes, putting up those numbers, and then I'm be prepared to pay that premium to have him on my team.
Yeah, that's what's going to be my next question. You have Larkin, you have Mike James, and you have Moneke. Are you considering to let go any of the three to get another star, or these are the three stars on your team, like pretty much everybody else in the anybody who has a lot of credits has these three players permanently. But I think what's going to make the difference is not having them when they have a bad game. And this week, I mean, I'm in a whole different kind of budget because I have 105 credits, but I'm selling Mike James. Because otherwise I cannot afford the two players that I want. It's a player and a coach that I want. So I'm trading Mike James. Even when he plays at home against Partizan, he could have a good game. But I really expect good things from Keenan Evans of Žalgiris. Žalgiris plays twice at home. There are rumors that, not rumors, but he left the game the other day. Dovydas Gedriaitis, the backup point guard, he left the game, Lithuanian League game, with an injury. He may or may not play, which works on Evans' playing time favor. And I don't know. If I want Evans, I cannot have James. So I'm going to go with Evans. And that makes me get enough credits to buy Georgios Batsokas as a coach, who I think is going to, I think from all the coaches, I think he's the one that has more chances to win and get positive points, let's say.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Look, last week I had 130 points and I had Pablo Las as my head coach, lost 10 points. That was the difference between having a pretty good week, 150, and week. It's very difficult now to get it right with the coaches. There's a lot of surprises, a lot of upsets. There's no gimme games anymore. But I concur with what you said. I also have Bartsokas as my coach. And like you, having gone from Lasso to Bartsokas, that meant having to find a few more credits somewhere to be able to make that happen. I personally think that the big bump in minutes that we'll see this week from the Žalgiris injury situation might go to Lekavičius. Evans will play a little bit more, but when I just looked at Giedraitis, who played 25 minutes last week, but the two games before that, he played low single digits in minutes. So without him there, I think that we might just see a little bit more from Lekavičius, who has been productive, although not huge numbers, but at his price, and I have him on my bench. That's somebody who I like to have there, and I'll take whatever I can get from him at 4.7 credits, and the rest of the money I'm saving there, I'm able to use in other positions.
Well, Lekavičius, okay, the game was very competitive. Žalgiris won by 28 in the Lithuanian league, but Lekavičius had 20 points in 16 minutes. And without Giedraitis, if he doesn't play, he's going to see a lot of playing time. Same probably with Roland Smits. If Brady Menek, who also got injured in that game, is not able to play in this double round week, expect Roland Smits to do very well, I think.
I agree. Those are players that I would consider. I already had Lekavičius. I'm keeping him. I'm not going to break. I don't want to change things too much to go to chase after Smits. At this point, when no matter how much money you have, if you have three or four big stars or key players that are worth a lot of money, all you can do after that is tinker with your lineup. That's what we're doing now, going into the double round. We're tinkering with our lineups. That will be the title of this episode: tinkering with your lineup. So to bring every player that you like, it means, all right, who am I going to cut? Where am I going to create the points? Oh, so I'm going from Lasso to Bartsokas. That means I have to do some more moves. So for me, the upside to Smits, I don't see it as, you know, in the past weeks, we've had a lot of injuries. We've discussed, Tavares is out. What does that mean for Vincent Poirier? The guy, Everett Olympiakos, all the big men are out. What does that mean for Petrushev, right? I don't know that I would say Smits is the guy you have to run out and have in that category. But if you can afford him and he fits in, I think that it's a nice little boost for him.
Totally. You mentioned Olympiakos. How about this Moses Wright? The guy comes with huge numbers in the Turkish league. And he's going to play right away. And he plays against Alba Berlin. Looks like a fantasy opportunity. He's not in the market yet because he hasn't been registered yet. Let's point that out. Because if Olympiakos doesn't register him today, Monday, he's not going to play. But if he is available, I think he'll play, and he'll play big minutes, and it could be a surprise if he comes out with a low price, especially.
Yeah, I'm the first one to tell everybody. I have not gone out and spent days and days scouting Moses Wright, but I also did not spend any time scouting Dan Oturu, and I said, maybe don't run out and get this guy. And Dan Oturu put up monster numbers in the Turkish league before he came to FS. Moses Wright put up monster numbers in the Turkish league before he came to Olympiakos. Dan Oturu hit the ground running with some huge games in the EuroLeague. I know it's not, we're talking apples and oranges here, but he's obviously a talented player. They needed a big guy. That's why they ran out and got him. I was actually considering Luke Sikma this week after a very big game last week. He's been there all year, so he knows the system. He's playing his old team. It's a good price. I did not go at Luke Sikma because I've decided to try and cut out the business of, against this old team, revenge or whatever, because I've been burned on that enough times. But I do think the situation is very good for Luke Sikma this week. But if you don't believe in Luke Sikma, or if Moses Wright comes in at a very attractive price, but what is that price? What is the price where you would say, okay, Moses Wright, I'm taking him?
I would say under 11.
So I would say even less, right? And I don't think he'll be as low as I'd be comfortable. I would say less than 9 is where I'd start to consider him. But at 11, I still feel like there's good value. And at what position is he registered in? Sometimes guys are registered at forward, sometimes at center. Where is he registered and how would that impact? Because I do feel right now there's a dearth of centers.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be a center for sure. So if he is, he's more attractive than he isn't. Because forwards, we have a lot. And especially in the range of 10 to, let's say, 13, there's a lot of good value there. So I wouldn't worry about too much about Moses Wright if he goes forward, but he's gonna go center for sure.
So at center, I don't think I would take him at this point. I don't think I would take him over Tibor Pleiss, who is 7.3 credits, if I'm not mistaken, right? So yeah. Again, I would. It's a wait and see approach. I understand when you take the wait and see approach, you don't get the big boom out of a player who comes in, hits the ground running, and puts up a 25 PER. But I also don't have to worry about a guy coming and playing 3 minutes. So that's my approach. But I understand for people who are want to be aggressive and go get him. Obviously, he's a talented player and he could be an impact player.
Let's see. Well, let's take a look at our teams. I'm going to show mine first. Okay, like I said, I have Bartók as head coach. My starting lineup is Jago dos Santos, who had a game winner last night against Partizan. Paris Lee, who has been playing amazing. McKissick, Moneke, and Vincent Poirier. Last chance for him before Tavares comes back or whatever, because he hasn't been delivering as I expected. I expected him to do much better. And on the bench, I have Lekavičius and Evans from Zalgiris. Da Silva, just because I didn't have much money. Tibor Pleiss and Elijah Bryan. That's my team, and I hope it works very well.
Yeah, so I tinkered a lot with my lineup and had a couple different versions for coming back to what I'm settling with, but I did not feel there was any reason to get rid of any of the big three that we spoke about, Jimmy Moneke, Shane Larkin, Mike James, who are clearly first team all EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge players this year. There's no doubt about it. Those guys lead the way. But I got rid of PJ Dozier, who I like a lot, but I had to create some money, create some space. And then and also Rokos Gudraitis, who again I also like and wish I could have kept, and I think that he's very good value at this point with the Zvezda, but I wanted to get the value without cutting the big guys, and I made a change of center by cutting Danko Brankovic, who was good for me, but I don't think I can expect many 22-point games from him. And for them, I brought in Tibor Pleiss, who's inconsistent, but I feel the value at 7.3 is too good to pass up when building a team. Dinos Mutoglu, who I like the situation. Again, it's not because he's going against Milan and I feel he has something to prove. I try to stay away from that, but I do like the way he's been playing. Lasorte has taken a bit of a step back. He's been hurt a little bit. So I think that, you know, it's been a great season for Mutoglu. I have not been on the Mutoglu train, but I feel now is the right time. And last but not least, well, at least in terms of value, but in terms of a guy who I think could bring a lot of oomph for a cheap price is Azwell's Mbaye Ndiaye, who's been comes off a very big game and is priced very low, and it allowed me to put the whole puzzle together. There's a bunch of other guys who I wish I could have. I'm not cutting anybody here, certainly not those who are good righteous, because I don't think that they're good. If they're on your team, I think you're in a good spot. I wished I could have brought back Kendrick Nunn, but I didn't really see a way to make it work. So that's my team for right now.
Yeah, not bad at all. Well, before we go, we have a proposition. There's a long break coming up, and I don't know if you're going to be wanting the Fantasy Challenge podcast or not, but we have a proposition, which is, how about we do, you and I, some kind of mid-season fantasy awards, like best gainer, first team, second team, MVP, and discuss about it?
Absolutely. I think, we should have our mid-season or two-thirds of the season. Mm-hmm. I just said, like, the three guys who are all Fantasy Challenge first team. But, yeah, we should do that. We should discuss the biggest gainers and look back. And then we can make our predictions who will be the biggest gainers from that point on and see you know, maybe that'll give you an opportunity to beat me in something this year.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think I beat you 4 consecutive weeks.
Yeah, like but overall, and overall.
Well, my best team is better than your best team. That's all I care about.
Yes, really. But if you have 12 teams, that's not a big deal.
Well, I only have three. Anyway, leave us our comments here, especially if you want this content in the 2 weeks that we're going to be with no yearly games. Domestic Cups window, we have to, well, entertain you somehow.
So, and also, even then, it's a good idea to discuss injuries, which will be coming up from those from those games, and monitoring the progress and seeing what happens with the players. It's going to be very big to go back after that and reassess your teams.
Also, you know, we are always on Twitter. You can find us. Frankie's Mr. Euroleague. I'm Ganchetto with double T. And that's it. Enjoy the games. I'm seeing that the last game of the week on Friday looks like a million years away. But on Friday, it's Monaco against Fenerbahce. My games against Calathes. Very good friends going against each other. Hell of a game. And everything before that is going to be awesome. So don't miss it.
Enjoy the basketball.
All right. Take care. And see you probably next week with this mid-season awards special podcast. See ya. Bye.